So we have a set of interesting talks today. The first is about lifetime physical activity and its contribution to bone health. It is going to be presented by Ms. Chelsea Saya, who is an epidemiologist in the Navy and Marine Corps Public Health Center in Portsmouth, Virginia. She is part of the deployment health team that performs disease surveillance in support of DOD, otherwise known as Department of Defense Operations. She received her Bachelor of Science degree in Human Nutrition, Foods and Exercise with a minor in Spanish from Virginia Tech. And that's where she developed a particular interest in physical activity and how it affects chronic disease management. She went on to receive her MPH from Eastern Virginia Medical Center, Medical School, in 2014 with a concentration in epidemiology. And this research that she's presenting today showcases her practicum where she worked with Dr. Tina Cunningham, and she will be talking more about that today. Welcome.
Okay. Thank you for the introduction. As she said, my name is Chelsea Saya, and I'll be presenting on does lifetime physical activity contribute to bone health. And I'd like to first acknowledge and thank Dr. Tina Cunningham, who is here with us today. She's right over there, who graciously allowed me to present on her behalf today. And she's been my mentor throughout our work on this project together. So we have no disclosures today. So some background information. Maintaining bone health is an essential process throughout the lifespan, as bones are responsible for structural support, muscle attachment, and calcium storage throughout the body. Bone health is characterized by bone mineral density and bone mineral concentration, which are measurements of minerals present in bone. And bone health is influenced by numerous modifiable and non-modifiable risk factors, including non-modifiable factors, particularly age, as bone mass changes gradually throughout the lifespan in both men and women. And osteoporosis is a chronic bone disease that causes reductions in bone mineral density and bone mineral concentration and leads to a compromised structural integrity of bones, which can lead to increased risk of falls and osteoporotic fractures, particularly among older aged people. There is a substantial disease and economic burden. In the U.S., there are over 10 million adults who suffer from osteoporosis, with 48 million people that are at risk for developing and have osteopenia, which is characterized by low bone mineral density, which is not quite to the scale as when you get diagnosed with osteoporosis. And there is a significant economic burden, with healthcare costs expected to exceed $25 billion by 2015 in the United States alone. So some background on physical activity. The American College of Sports Medicine defines physical activity as any musculoskeletal movement that leads to a caloric expenditure. These activities directly initiate osteogenic responses through mechanical loading, which promotes mineralization and leads to increased bone mineral density and cortical thickness of bones, which leads to strengthening of the bones. And physical activity is thought to possibly be prevention for bone loss throughout the lifespan, particularly at a younger age. Bone mineral density is thought to, or physical activity is thought to increase bone mineral density, and the more that you do it at a younger age, it maintains throughout the lifespan and into advanced age. Although these relationships are inconclusive and there are discrepancies in the literature. So to address these discrepancies, our objectives for the study was to evaluate the relationship between different domains of physical activity and bone health. And then we also wanted to compare the difference in the association between lifetime physical activity, so physical activity performed at all aspects of throughout the lifespan, and then and bone measurement, and then look at the differences between genders and ages. So for methods, for our study population, we use the National Health and Nutrition Examination Survey, or NHANES, and this is a survey that is performed from the National Center of Health Statistics, which is a branch of the CDC that is responsible, and their goal is to produce vital health statistics for the United States. And this is a continuous survey that is reported every 2 years. The NHANES has a complex survey design, and consists of nationally representative data that is organized into demographics, body measures, dietary physical activity, health status and conditions, environmental factors, and then different laboratory and examination data. So these are the ones that we used in the study. So what we did was we selected all of the data sets that we wanted to include and then linked them together by the unique ID number in NHANES. So then to be included in our study, we looked at NHANES from 2007 to 2010. So this was two survey years, from 2007, 2008, 2009, 2010. And to be included, the subjects had to have data in all of the included data sets, specifically the ones that are listed. Just because the subject had to be present in every single of one of the data sets, they just had to have the ID number. It doesn't necessarily mean that there was a complete record for each of them. They had missing values. And then we limited it age 18 years and older. So we assessed physical activity by using, they had the Physical Activity Global Questionnaire, which included questions that were related to daily activities, leisure time activities, and sedentary activities. And we looked specifically at duration, which was the typical amount of time that they spent on an average day of doing an exercise or a physical activity, and then the frequency of how often they performed these activities in a given week. And the activities that we specifically looked at were transportation activities, so this is transporting to any place, work or leisure, by walking or using a bike, and this is considered a moderate activity. And then we looked at work, moderate and vigorous activities. So this is anything that had to do with work or work at home. So moderate or vigorous activity with that. And then leisure time activities. So this includes recreation, planned and unplanned activities, which was also moderate and vigorous. So then for our sixth activity group, we if a person had more than two or more activities, then we lumped them into the multiple activity group just to give a better analysis for each of the activity groups. So then we calculated metabolic equivalency tasks, or METs, which are designed to allow for intensity and express energy expenditures that are comparable among people of different weights. So according to the NHANES guidelines, we assigned a moderate activity as a MET score of 4, and the vigorous activity was a MET score of 8. So then taking that, we then calculated MET minutes per week, where we multiplied duration times frequency times intensity. So this is a continuous variable that we calculated. And then we further dichotomized physical activity into low and high activity, and this was done by using the median value as a cutoff point for low and high. So for bone measures, we look specifically at bone mineral concentration and bone mineral density, because these are the two main measurements of bone health. And the NHANES used dual X-ray absorptometry scans, or DEXA scans, which are considered to be the gold standard for measuring bone mineral density and concentration. And we looked at three locations. We looked at the total femur, femoral neck, and total spine for each bone mineral density and bone mineral concentration. And there are 18 covariates that we included in our data, and this was specifically age, race, education, household income, BMI, minutes of sedentary activity, health status, alcohol and tobacco use, family history of osteoporosis, whether the subjects took cortisol or prednisone daily. And then we looked at specific medical conditions such as thyroid problems, arthritis, high blood pressure, diabetes, and cancer. And then also looked at vitamin D and calcium supplementation. So for the statistical analysis, we did descriptive statistics to describe the sample population. And then we used ANOVA to examine the differences in bone mineral density and bone mineral concentration between the low and high physical activity levels for each of the six activity groups. And then we went back and did ANCOVA, which assessed the same model as ANOVA, but we just fitted the model to control for the 18 covariates. And then the adjusted models were further stratified by age, and we separated this age group by 50 and under is the younger age group, and over 50 is the older age group. And then we stratified by gender separately. And it's important to note that all of the analysis, we use the enhanced sample weights that were incorporated in, to account for the complex survey design and the comparability among the survey years. So this is just a snapshot of our sample characteristics because we did 18 covariates. It was a little too busy to show. So we had a total sample of 11,766 subjects that were eligible to be included. And it was a pretty even split between males and females. Females was a little bit more. The average age was 50 years, but there was a high standard deviation that fluctuated between it. About 47% of this population was of the white race, and about 36% had an annual family income of less than $25,000 per year. And then 60% self-identified as being in good or fair health as their health status. So this table shows the unadjusted versus the adjusted means when comparing bone mineral density and bone mineral concentration between the low and high activity levels. And you can see on the left is the unadjusted means, and then the right is the adjusted means. So we had to break apart this table into two slides, so I'll show you the other three activities after. But this just looked at vigorous work activity, moderate work activity, and transportation activity. So as you can see, vigorous work activity at the total spine bone mineral concentration was statistically significant, the difference between the low and high groups, and then for moderate work activity at the femoral neck bone mineral density, and transportation at the femoral neck bone mineral density. And then when we adjusted for the 18 covariates, the only category that was still statistically significant was the transportation activity at the femoral neck bone mineral density. So then these are the other three activities, the vigorous leisure activity, moderate leisure activity, and then the total for multiple activities. So vigorous leisure activity and total multiple activities were statistically significant at all bone locations for the unadjusted means. And then when we adjusted for the covariates, vigorous leisure activity was still statistically significant at all bone locations. And then there was a moderate leisure activity at the total femur bone mineral density that was significant. And then the total spine bone mineral concentration for total activities was still statistically significant after controlling. So the results stratified by gender, we looked at the same association. We just separated it by males versus females. So among males, there was statistically significant differences. And this was just of the adjusted means. We didn't look at the unadjusted. So the vigorous recreation activity, there was statistically significant at the total femur bone mineral density and the femoral neck bone mineral concentration. And then for transportation activity, the total spine bone mineral density and BMC. And then for females, there was a statistically significant increase in vigorous recreation activity at the total femur bone mineral concentration. But what was interesting was we saw a reduction between the low and high groups at the total femur and femoral neck bone mineral density with a vigorous work activity. But overall, there was not really a consistent relationship that we saw for physical activity and bone mineral density between the genders. So for age, adjusted means, we looked at the same thing, separated by the younger age group, a 50 or younger, and then the older age group. So moderate work activity at the total femur, bone mineral density, and femoral neck bone mineral density and bone mineral concentration were statistically significant from low to high. And then the vigorous recreation activity at all locations except for the total spine, BMC, and then the transportation activity, the total spine. And then for the older group, the only statistically significant finding that we had was for moderate recreation activity at the total femur and femoral neck bone mineral density. So overall, there were more statistically significant changes that we saw in the younger age group. So So among all of the domains of physical activity reported in this survey, we saw that vigorous recreation activity was consistently and significantly associated with bone mineral density between the low and high activity groups. And this was true for both the unadjusted and adjusted models. When stratified by gender, we didn't see a clear pattern of disparity between the genders, but there is evidence showing in the literature that physical activity in bone mass is more prominently seen among males because of they are more likely to have more strenuous activity, and the fact that females in general have a lower peak bone mass. And we also saw that the effect of physical activity on bone mass varies with age groups, which we were not surprised by. We did see more positive associations in the younger age group with more physical activity, and that we saw the increase in femoral neck and total femur bone mineral density in the older group among moderate recreation activity, but we didn't see anything statistically significant among vigorous activity, which when you think about it sounds kind of counterintuitive. But we think that this could likely be explained by the fact that older people are less likely to take part in vigorous activity, and they're more likely to do moderate activity. So our strengths, the study was based on nationally representative data from 4 years. This was a really well-designed study and had a really complex study design. And as far as we know, it's the largest publicly available data set that has a DEXA scan for bone mineral density and bone mineral concentration for the population. We also examined a wide range of ages rather than just having a short-term intervention, which is something different among the literature. We also included 18 different covariates in the analysis when we adjusted, and some of them were not included in other studies that we have seen in the literature, particularly the sedentary times, some of our specific comorbidities that we looked at, and then some health issues that we know are related to bone health. And then we also followed the NHANES guidelines and used the survey sample weights, which is important to incorporate and account for the complex design and then allow for comparability among the different survey years that we included. So with that, any study, we did have some limitations. This study relied heavily on self-reported data, especially for physical activity, which is our main exposure. To the best of our knowledge, the questionnaires did not distinguish between strenuous weight-bearing and non-weight-bearing exercises, so we know that this probably could have a difference when we're looking at physical activity. And the activities were recorded as an estimated average on a day or a particular week, so there is definitely recall and social desirability bias that goes along with self-reported data. We also had a large amount of missing values. We were unable to capture data from the sedentary population, and it was hard to distinguish between inactivity and missing values that were from non-reporting. We also, our stratified analysis by gender and age were exploratory, so the results that we've seen cannot be ruled out as chance findings due to when we stratified the different variables, sample size limitations occurred in some of the subgroups. And then, as with any cross-sectional study, causation and the temporal relationship between the exposure and outcome cannot be determined because this was a cross-sectional study. And here are my references. And are there any questions? Thank you. Yeah, we did see a reduction. I'll go back to that.
I'm also not sure, where is it? Femoral neck.
Femoral neck is on your leg. It's the femur.
Okay, so it's not down in the upper part of the leg.
Okay. Yeah, so we looked at the total femur, which would be the total bone of the femur, and then just the femoral neck, which is the top part of it, and then the total spine. Because these are the places that are most likely that you're going to see reductions in bone mineral density and fluctuations between that. So we did see the reduction in the total femur and femoral neck for bone mineral density among the vigorous work activity for females, which we said that could be explained. And, you know, we obviously don't know why, but it could be explained by females just are less likely to have a higher peak bone mass, and compared to males, they're less likely to do probably more strenuous activity.
I think you work in this area, and this is just one of the things that people talk about all the time. You can look at the significances with your adjusted here for activity, or for transportation, and flip to the next one. There's obviously a difference. So, what I think you're indicating is that there's a level of intensity that comes along with the leisure time activity, physical activity. It does not come along with transportation activity and or work related activity. And I think that's one of the things that when we prescribe this type of stuff, that we're looking at increasing bone density among population, obviously is coming in more effectively with this kind of activity than just walking to and fro, back and forth to work.
Right. And these activities are. And these activities include, you know, the recreation when they're going to go out and do exercises. And I'm sure parts of this are including weight-bearing exercise, which is known to have more effect on bone mineral density.
Do the inmates delineate? I know the Burgess used to delineate. They quit doing that years ago. Do the inmates delineate the types of recreational activities in which they participate?
No, they didn't. They did in the previous versions, but we used the more updated ones. So.
And that's a major limitation that I've seen with inmates and the Burgess, because I've done that.
Yeah.
Is that what you see with inmates data as well?
Basically, they ask you, do you perform activities, for vigorous leisure activity, do you perform activities for recreation or exercise that cause a large increase in breathing or heart rate? So that's a yes or no. And then they go forward in the next question and ask, on the given times that you do it, how long do you do it, the frequency and then the duration. For how long they do it in a typical week. So, I mean, there are.
Right, there could be a lot of aerobic things.
Yeah.
You know, strength training, you know, because the weight training is different
from the muscles. Right, and they don't distinguish between the weight bearing and non weight bearing, so it's hard to, I mean, that's an obvious limitation with using, you know, a large set of data like this.